Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a radio show, podcast, and community for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you are adopting. However God is building your family, we want to help walk with you on that journey and encourage you along the way.
That's right. So today on our show is a little bit of a different topic. And I do want to go ahead and say, if you're listening or watching, just know that today's going to be a hard subject to talk about. And so if you have little ears around, we would suggest maybe going to a different room or waiting and, you know, until a later time for you to come back and listen to it later. But it's a topic that definitely needs to be talked about. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's talked about in church enough. And so we are talking about it today. But we have a friend and co-worker in with us today, Hannah.
Not Hannah of Hannah's Heart, but we'll claim
Hannah. Her name is Hannah.
She said she gets asked a lot, are you Hannah of Hannah's Heart? but she has been on Hannah's Heart before, talking about the wedding dresses.
Yes, and the angel gowns.
Yes. So go back and look up the angel gowns episode, because it's a really good one. But she's in here to talk about something that's very passionate.
That you just wrote an article about. You're a writer for
The Stand. For The Stand, I write for both the blog as well as the magazine. And you may just announce the topic.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
And I wrote an article about human trafficking, which is something that the Lord has really burdened my heart for, and for the past few years especially. And it's really awesome to work at AFA because we do get to bring attention to these type of issues.
Before we jump into all of that, just a quick, because some of our listeners are like, wait, how does this apply to infertility and miscarriage?
Right.
We want to back up, because I know we've talked on the show before about how a lot of women see someone who's had an abortion, and if you're struggling with infertility, you struggle with often a lot of
judgment
and anger.
Yeah. And I've been there.
You're like, I want a baby so desperately. Yeah. And here these people are getting children and choosing not to keep them alive. Well, I did not realize how closely the human trafficking and the abortion industry are tied together.
Yes. And they the abortion industry does not claim that. And you could see why.
Sure.
That is nothing that they're going to advertise that they are linked with. But you're going to share with us today how we know some of those stats.
Yes. And like you guys just said, it is something that, you know, if you type in Google abortion and the link to sex trafficking, they're not going to give you that information really easy. But there's actually a 2014 study was one of the most recent studies that they've done on this topic. And I found last year, apparently there was one more kind of a follow-up to that. So in that small polling, they polled 31 women. Mm-hmm. And of those 31 women, 42, hang on, I lost the page, guys.
I know 42 was the right number. I remember you saying that.
Sorry. 42 pregnancies from human trafficking survivors ended in an abortion, and then there were also 32 miscarriages that happened from these just 31 women. And so on top of that, you also are going to have other issues that come with human trafficking, you know, health issues that are going to pertain to it. And so after maybe they've been rescued, maybe they're not in it anymore, they can still struggle to get pregnant just because of the trauma that has occurred during that time frame.
Just to kind of help our listeners understand the situation, I have a couple testimonies that are, these are from girls who were sex trafficked and were forced to have abortions. These are really hard to listen, but I think this is going to help us get in the mindset of what we're talking about today. This first one says, when my trafficker found out any of his girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term. This person says, I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion at 13. I'm going to skip to the next one here. My trafficker, let's do this one. Before he started trafficking, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 throughout the time I was trafficked until she was 23, so for 10 years.
10 years.
And one more. This one says, I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on the track again right afterwards and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I am happily married is too great to describe in words. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these women are dealing with the topics that we talk about our show because of decisions that were forced upon
decisions
them.
Decisions they did not make at all.
And regardless of whether or not abortion is a part of their story, I feel like it's so easy to focus on whatever your own hurt is when you're desiring a child that it's helpful sometimes to talk about a topic like this just to get out of your head and realize that, like Anne, you said, you know, there are children that are
slaves. As we're speaking, there's children that are slaves. And I felt this. I had to get out of my slump when I was walking through infertility because sometimes it's all you can think about because you're reminded about it daily. But then when you hear these stories, I'm not saying that means we shouldn't be sad about infertility or miscarriages or trying to belittle that in any way. But to help us, and you know, we're here at Hannah's Heart, we're passionate about not wasting your weight and finding resources, things that we could be doing with our pregnancy centers, our children's ministries. We're going to talk about 8 Days of Hope soon and these ministries related to this. These are things that we could be focusing on right now to not waste that weight. Like, let's see what we can do for these people hurting as well in a much different way than we are.
And in that article, too, that I was talking about, a lot of those women were obviously forced to have their abortions by their pimps, but they didn't know of, like, you know, resources like a pregnancy clinic or anything like that that could help them with their baby and to care for them. So I think even something as simple as that, you know, getting involved with your local pregnancy center can be helpful in that situation as well.
So what do you want listeners to know and understand about, like, what's some of the misconceptions about this topic?
So I think, and you mentioned this in one of the stories you read, that she was 13. Like, the average age of entry for human trafficking is from 14 to 16.
Goodness.
And that's
gracious.
Average. So a lot of the times, there's a thing called, they call it familial trafficking, which is, it's when parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles will unfortunately, you know, pimp out children. So in those cases, a lot of the times it's younger than 14.
Which should literally make our blood boil.
Right.
You should want to throw
like,
up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A righteous anger, maybe.
Yeah.
I think we have to realize that, number one, is that a lot of the times growing up, I was in the South. I was, you know, I was homeschooled. So we didn't talk about these type of issues about human trafficking. And, you know, maybe you kind of had these ideas of girls that were in this life or whatever.
You could almost be judgmental towards these girls.
Right, exactly. And I guess in a way I was until the Lord really opened my eyes to just the nature of this crime. But you think older women, like you think people in their 20s or 18, like they're there because they want to be there kind of sort of a deal. And that's just not true. You know, these pimps and these groomers will get on social media sites. And so that's something for parents to watch out for.
These apps.
And they'll disguise and you'll think you're talking to somebody, but it's not who you're talking to. And they'll get on there and they'll build a relationship. And then a lot of the times pictures or of some nature are exchanged and then they'll blackmail them. And so it's a long process, but also people think, oh, well, I just have to watch out for that white van in the Walmart parking lot. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. I'm just going to get napped on the side of the road.
Doesn't look like that.
That's not. These people want to make money. So it's an investment for them to, you know, to build a relationship with these children that they're trafficking. And so that's the biggest one to keep in mind. Mm.
So tell us about, like, how much of this is happening in the U.S.?
Everybody
thinks this is happening overseas.
Exactly. A lot of people, like, will think of the movie Taken with Liam Neeson. I'm not saying that type of trafficking doesn't happen, but this is happening in every state, every city, probably right down the road from you. Like, this happens every single day, 365 days a year. Children are being sold. Women are being sold. Boys are being sold, you know? So it's not just happening in red light districts in India.
How is it happening? Because I feel, like, oblivious because,
I'm pretty sure. So I wish I could remember this girl's name, but this was in college when I went to listen to her speak. She spoke at Mississippi State University here in Mississippi, and she had been trafficked from a joint that's very near Starkville.
Oh, wow.
And so in little bitty town, Starkville, West Point is the town she was taken from. Her so-called boyfriend actually ended up being her pimp. She did not know this, but he encouraged her to go make some extra money. Her mom had been diagnosed with cancer. They did not have money for cancer treatments. And so her boyfriend was like, just go. And she was stripping.
Yeah.
You know, go do this. You can make some money for your mom. Don't you want to do that for your mom? Mm-hmm. You know, and so she goes and does that, and she gets taken. And they took her. She showed pictures of the house that she lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was literally millionaires that did live there.
Yeah.
But you would have had no idea what was going on inside of that house.
And that's a good point, too, because it's not like a class thing, you know, like it's millionaires, it's happening in the middle of nowhere, you know, like there's no differentiation between.
Well, I've heard like the World Cup, the Super Bowl, like so many of these huge events, this is where a lot of these girls are being taken to be sold or traded or whatever those terms are.
And I'm actually working on another article about the Super Bowl. There's not like definitive data to prove it because it's a crime, you know, like people are, it happens every single day. But I think that when there's a large event, I mean, you're going to go buy a lot of popcorn at the Super Bowl, you know, like something is going to be sold. And unfortunately, the same thing does apply.
Yeah.
To human beings.
Mm-hmm. Is it like statistics? Is it on the rise in the U.S.? Is it down?
It is the largest growing crime in the world. And America is the largest buyer of sex.
Wow.
This is $150 billion industry.
Oh, wow.
So. Yes.
I can't even comprehend those numbers.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing there's probably a direct correlation to the rise in pornography in the last 50 to 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's like you're talking about abortion, you talk about pornography. There's so many, the foster care system too.
A lot of the minorities are focused on.
Yes. So like everything, this is such a big issue because so many things feed into it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I've even heard is it Truckers for Life or there's
yes
okay well, is that what
I
it's called
I think it's called that but I know what you're talking about they're truckers that
there's trucker like our 18-wheeler drivers across America trafficking became so huge at our huge truck stops that now there's campaigns for our truckers to learn what to look for and so we have our enforcement teaching these drivers like looking for XYZ to help notice when something doesn't look right.
Right. Yep.
Hannah, have you seen the movie The Sound of Freedom?
I have.
Okay, we just got around to it, both of us, just recently watched it. So for those of you that haven't, you know, I'm sure you've heard about it because it was incredibly popular, but like, of course, there's this scene at the end where the guy like beats the tar out of this abuser.
Spoiler alert, if you're going to go watch the movie.
sorry, it's just started there. But there's... I'm not a man, but I'm sure any man watching would just like that is what you want to do when you see this injustice.
Will literally said, like, oh, I would love to be able to do that for somebody.
Lay him out. Yeah.
Like the average human being doesn't have the opportunity, like in this movie, where he literally gets to go hunt down abusers and like find and rescue children. Like we don't have the opportunity of being involved in that way. But what does for the average Christian, what does being like aware of this, what do we do?
So I always encourage people to learn the signs because, and I think it's, you talk about law enforcement, you talk about truckers, like school teachers, like Sunday school teachers. I knew somebody who was a Sunday school teacher, and this is in a little town where I grew up. There's one red light, guys. Like it's tiny, okay? And she came in and she showed all of the signs. Like she was wearing expensive jewelry. Mm-hmm. She was talking about this boyfriend that was from Memphis. Like he was out of town. He was gonna come and pick her up and like all of this stuff. The Sunday school teacher started listening. She's like, this is just not adding up. Mm-hmm. And so they got involved, got law enforcement involved, and actually the guy was running a ring in Memphis. Oh. So he was going to literally just roll up, pick her up, off she would go, and never to be seen again.
Wow. This was before she got pulled in.
Yes. So, praise the Lord. Started grooming her, and the Sunday school teacher was able to pick up on what she was talking about.
Wow.
And so that, yes. So thankfully she didn't get caught up in the in the lifestyle. But there are a few things that you can look for. You can look for, you know, like abuse, signs, markings, tattoos. A lot of the gangs will actually brand the girls in pretty obvious places. You can...
Because don't they get known by number instead of their names?
Number, and like a lot of them will use like crowns or like little like gang symbols, and they'll just tattoo them. So when if they get lost...
And
there's actually really cool ministries. I mean, I know tattoos, but they'll actually go in and remove it, or they'll make something out of it. So, and if you're like at a gas station, maybe they don't let the girl speak. So there's going to be somebody kind of like looming over, like this girl has no freedom. They normally don't have, you know, identification because their pimp is going to hold that. For kids, you know, in schools, you know, maybe they're acting out like in a sexualized behavior, or maybe they're talking about a friend or a boyfriend that's a lot older. Or they're wearing, you know, expensive gifts. Like, where would they have gotten that otherwise? You know, they could be really sleepy. They could be depressed. They could just show different symptoms of mental health issues. And so I think it's really important, and there's a lot of different resources online that you can go and you can print them off. You can share them with your church. You can memorize them. You can share them with your family. Because once you know and once you start getting into the tragedy that is human trafficking, you can't forget it.
No. Well, that Sunday school teacher, like, my first thought is like, well, my church, like, this isn't going to happen to us. Like, I don't need to know this information because it doesn't happen.
Right.
But, like,
yes,
you're thinking into the future of what could. Mm-hmm. And, you know, scripture says always be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you. But I think that's not just always be ready to share the gospel. Always be ready to share everything that it means to be a follower of Christ. And that means freedom.
Well, that is the gospel.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Being there for these girls, these kids.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, what are some of those websites or resources?
Oh, so some of the websites. So our friends at 8 Days of Hope actually have a really cool one. I give that one out a lot on their website. And it's just a little pamphlet. And it also includes online safety. So that's maybe another topic for later. But that is so, so crucial in our technology-driven world.
I would encourage anyone, so say you're someone struggling with infertility right now, so you don't have children to protect of your own, please send this out to someone or your sister or your friends that do have these adolescents that we're talking about with the social media thing, because it's scary out there. Kendra and I already talked, and we're like, our kids are going to be the lone ones without a cell phone.
Same.
So, but yeah, please take the time to do this, or at least share the information that Hannah's giving.
Yes. And they also have a video curriculum for churches to use as well. So you can go to 8 Days of Hope, their website, and I think it's a human trafficking tab, and you just click it, and they've got a lot of information there.
Yeah, 8 Days of Hope would be another one great to support with this, because they're working on, is it safe houses?
Yes, yes, they're making safe houses for victims of sex trafficking. They're working on a really big one in Ohio that the girls actually aren't going to have to leave campus for care. So church, school, all of that. It's really awesome.
I know this is really random, you guys, but it was really laid on my heart just now that there might be somebody listening who maybe they are struggling with infertility, came to Hannah's heart because of that, but there's been some sort of abuse they've been in this world or something, and they feel like a number, like we talked about, and just needs to know that they are loved and whole in Jesus. Would you mind praying if anyone happens to be listening right now?
Yes, I don't mind. All right. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day, God, and I just thank you for the ministry that is called Hannah's Heart, Lord, and for Ann and Kendra and their hearts. But Lord, I just pray for the lady right now who is struggling with infertility and maybe past traumas or hurts have accelerated that situation, Lord. God, I just pray that she would know that you're her creator and that you loved her enough to send her son to die on the cross, and that through you she can be made whole and come to live with you someday, but also have you walking, that she has you walking with her during this season of struggle. And I just pray that you would bless her and others as well. In your precious son's name I pray. Amen.
So Steve Tiber, who's the president of 8 Days of Hope.
Yes.
On one of our, I guess, commercials for them or ads for them, he talks about that it's, we have more slaves today than any other time in history. Is that right?
Yes. So human trafficking actually has forced labor trafficking and sex trafficking. But combined, there are 28 million people around the globe right now.
Wow.
Million. Yes.
Wow.
So it's heartbreaking and, you know, people don't know it.
No, it's literally an unseen problem.
Well, and then you look at, you know, some of the contributing factors that we've talked about with pornography on the rise. I have a feeling like a lot of the George Barna studies have done how many Christian men are struggling with pornography that don't realize the role that that plays in enslaving children. And you think it's this private struggle, but yet, like, who made that video?
It's like a victimless crime.
This is the girl that I spoke about earlier. That is what her main job was to do, was to produce pornography. And she was like, obviously, now they still have that everywhere. Like, she can't get any of that back. That is what she, this is crazy. And I don't know if the laws have changed now. That was a long time ago that I was in college. But she was actually being accused of, she had charges on her for sex trafficking because she was over the age of 18 and being made to take children across state lines. Even though she had no choice in that, she is now a sex trafficker herself. And so I know that she was doing some campaigns to change some laws about that. Like, if I'm literally at gunpoint and someone's holding, you know, telling me they're going to kill me or I'm going to take these kids across state lines, you know, what do you do? And so I hope something has changed. I don't know where we stand on that.
Yes. And there's a lot of legislation constantly happening, which is a good thing to help protect the victims and the survivors of sex trafficking. But I'm not familiar with that particular one, but it's insane.
Well, I'm sure something has to change all the time because there's new
new loopholes, new everything.
Well, and the signs and everything that you're mentioning, whether it's trafficking or not, even just recognizing abuse. You talked about the foster care system. A lot of our listeners might end up going into, you know, fostering families and being able to quickly identify those patterns. And why is it so high in the foster care system? Like, why is abuse so common, do you think? Sorry, not that you know everything about fostering because you've done it, but.
Well, I think, you know,
your press secretary.
Very gracious. If I don't know the stats on this or the for sure whys, but I would guess is because a lot of those parents, unfortunately, are addicted to other things, or they're addicted to drugs or in the wrong type of lifestyle right now that they're struggling with. And so if you have these other things going on in your life, your children are in foster care for a reason, because they weren't getting the attention that they needed.
And even though there are great foster families, when you get bounced, sometimes kids get moved quickly.
The biological parents.
And
then that happening to those children before they enter the system.
And a lot of the times, those kids may not have the self-worth, or, you know, they may not think that they're as valued because of their situation.
Right. And so,
they're easier to manipulate in the pimps.
And this is sort of off topic, but we know of a personal person who went through this. I'm sorry, I'm not saying this right, but the little girl did not know the correct anatomy,
right, right,
definitions of things. Wow. And so she had been trying to tell her teacher someone, her grandfather, was doing something to her. And since she did not use the correct anatomy,
right,
they were not able to press charges ever against the grandfather. And so, you know, that we're kind of getting into a whirlspin of important stuff, but a lot of different things. Just so many things to think about, and how high the rates are these days of our kiddos getting messed with. And so just know that we're not trying to do this episode as a depressing thing, but this all needs attention.
Yeah, it absolutely
as
is.
The church, we're not called to ignore these problems just because they're hard to talk about.
That's right. Well, if you're listening to this, we ask you to just pray about how the Lord can move on your heart to make a difference in this area. And just know, if you have struggled with any sort of abuse in your past, you are not a number. The Lord sees you. He loves you. The enemy is the one, the voice that's in your ear to accuse and to put doubt. But God is the voice of life, and listen to him. But thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.